Hey folks, I'm here to show off the new LEGO Mindstorms EV3.NET API. With the API, you can buy a LEGO Mindstorms EV3 robot and actually build applications that communicate over USB, Bluetooth, or Wi-Fi to control a LEGO Mindstorm robot. So before I get started, I just want to give an overview of what's capable with LEGO EV3 and how we as developers can be able to send and receive messages to it using the .NET API. So the first thing you'll notice is on this brick, we have, you'll see numbers there, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now those are plugs that we can use for sensors. And there's a number of sensors that ship with the box. For example, an infrared sensor that gives you the distance something is from that sensor, a touch sensor which lets you know that it's been clicked and so on. On the back here is letters A, B, C, and D. And those represent motors. So you can either have a large motor or a medium motor. So what we're going to be able to do is send commands to those motors from a WPF app, a Windows Phone application, or a WinRT application using, say, C# or JavaScript. So for purposes of this demo, we're going to be doing our demos in WPF, but the APIs are available, and it's many of the same steps that you're going to use regardless of language. So first thing we want to do, because we're going to be communicating with Bluetooth, is go to our Bluetooth icon. So I'm running Windows 8.1, so the experience may be slightly different on Windows 7 or Windows 8. But if I click here, I should see my Bluetooth, and I don't. I think it's hiding. Or let me make sure to actually run it. I can just say Bluetooth and change Bluetooth settings and make sure to turn it on. So once I see Bluetooth here, what I'm going to do is click EV3 ready to pair. I see a connect option here with the name of my machine. I click OK. I see a pass key, and that's 1234. And now I just type 1234 on my desktop and click Next. And you'll notice this is starting to pair. And you'll only need to do this the first time. Next time, you should be able to connect without a problem. The other thing we're going to want to do is on the Bluetooth devices here, now that I've set it, we can go to Open Settings. And what we're going to want to do is when connecting via desktop, we need to actually specify the COM port. So in this case, COM3 is likely going to be, or COM4. So we can go ahead and just try those two, and we see the EV3 as the name there. OK, so the next thing we're going to do, now that we have our connection to the Bluetooth, I'm going to go ahead and just type in LEGO, because I've installed the LEGO Mindstorms EV3 Home software. And we're just going to give this a second to load up. Now, your retail kits come with a different version of the firmware that you do need to upload to be able to use the API. So you need to go to Tools, Firmware Update, and you'll select Available Firmware, and then be able to click Download. Now, I've already done this step. But for those of you who haven't, check your version. It needs to be at least 1.03. The version that ships, at least with this kit, was 1.01. So once you have that updated, we can actually go ahead and exit. You can make sure that your application is actually working. OK, so let's go ahead and close out of that. And we're going to open up our LEGO EV3 project. And I want to just take a second here, and we'll zoom in so you can see kind of what's going on here. So within here, we have a series of sample apps and a series of basic testers, then the APIs themselves. So I have the sample app, which is a WPF app, but we have the same app both available for Windows 8.1 and phone. And this is a good way to just be able to, once you get the Bluetooth pairing working, we can click Run and connect to our machine. Now, we do see a connection type here. And you can connect via USB. We're going to be connecting via Bluetooth. And you need to set the COM port, so I'm going to try 3 there. And we do see a connection. So what this is telling us is these are the things that are already plugged into it. So the equivalent of if you see A, B, C, and D, you'll see at the very top there's a medium motor plugged into port A, a large motor plugged into both B and C, and port D is empty. And that's over on this side, which you can't see the back of. And then on this side, or actually it's right here, if you can see A, B, C. And then underneath it are what sensors are plugged into the device. So we see port 3 as a touch sensor, and an infrared sensor. So for example, we can, just to show the infrared sensor, you see that number 56 going off there in the corner, we'll just kind of zoom in, is as I move my hand closer and farther away from it, the number will increase and decrease, showing us the distance. And that's the distance in centimeters from the infrared sensor. So this is a great way for us to be able to plug in and see what we can actually do with the LEGO Mindstorms. But next, what we want to do is start from a file new project and show everything you need to do to be able to connect and control this robot. All right, so let's get started. What I'm going to do is I have another instance of Visual Studio open here. And I'll go to the start page, and we'll click File New Project. And I have Windows, and I'm going to choose a WPF application. And let's just choose a name, LEGO API sample. And I'll go ahead and click OK. Default folder's fine. There's no magic going on there. And the first thing I'm going to want to do is add a reference to the LEGO API. So there's two ways to do that. One, you can download all the samples and projects. Or two, you can use NuGet. Now, because we're publishing this video before the NuGet packages are available, I do recommend using the NuGet packages, because that way you automatically get updates. But I'm going to have to manually go in here. And in my LEGO API sample, we see on references, right click and select Add Reference. And this will tell me, hey, what have I used previously? And I'll go ahead and just click that and click OK. Or actually, I'll go ahead and just browse to it. I think I have it in desktop, code, LEGO API, desktop, bin, release. There's our LEGO API for desktop. Now, you will have a different version of this DLL for each of the different platforms. To make sure to use the correct one, click OK. OK, so I should see LEGO EV3 here. And next, what we're going to do is just switch to the code behind. So I'm going to right click and choose View Code. And I'm going to add two using statements. And let's just zoom in a little on the code here. We'll do using. And remember, our library, we're just going to be referencing the library directly here, LEGO EV3. Core, and because we do need parts of the desktop, EV3 desktop. OK, so now we're able to use our project. And let's make sure we'll just do a quick build, make sure there's nothing weird. And we'll go into our main window, select our main window. And let's go under Events. And I'll just scroll down to Loaded Event. So there's our loaded event. And if I double click it here, should have a Windows loaded event. So what we want to do, and actually because we want to have a reference to the LEGO brick, we will just call it a brick, which represents the LEGO EV3 core brick, which is, you know, this solid piece brick. And I'll just call it brick. So there's our member file, and we're going to be able to set that in this window loaded. So to do that, we'll do brick equals new brick. Now, when you're connecting to a brick, you need to set the type of communication. So in our case, it's going to be a new Bluetooth communication. And we need to set its COM port. If you're using Windows Phone and Windows RT, it'll automatically do this for you. But since we're using desktop, we're going to use COM3. And manually set that. We'll do brick.brickChanged plus equal, and I'll click Tab twice. And I have my little method for the brickChanged event. Now, this is going to fire when new data comes from the LEGO brick. So, just for simplicity, we can just even have an event here called debug. And I'll add a reference to system.diagnostics, right line, brick changed, exclamation mark, because we're so excited. So Now that we have a way to receive data from the brick when it's telling us that there's new data, we need a way to, one, connect, and two, to send data. So to actually get data, we're going to do brick.connectAsync. And because this is actually an awaitable, we are going to say await that. And we need to mark this as asynchronous. So this lets us know that it's going to do some back-end processing and call this back, so we don't have to do the callback. And next, now that we have a connection, and the next line of code that will fire will have that connection, we can actually start sending commands to the brick. So brick.directCommand. And the question is really, what do we want it to do? So we're going to tell it to just play a simple sound asynchronously. So if we look at the values here, it's saying, what's the volume that you want? I'll say 100. And actually, we'll do, instead of play sound, because we'll show that a little later, we'll do play tone, the volume of 100. What frequency? So we'll choose, let's choose 1,000. And for how long? That's in milliseconds. So that's 1/3 of a second there. And we also need to await this. So it's going to send a command to play the tone. And let's go ahead and just run this app. The window load should fire. We create a new brick. We see connect async and play tone async. So let's go ahead and click that. And hopefully you all were able to hear a little tone there. We'll run this. And there we have our value. And we do see our brick change sending values. And this will fire as there's events change. For example, if the infrared has new distance, it'll fire. If it doesn't have new distance, it won't fire. So go ahead and click stop. We just showed very basically how to create a connection and how to be able to receive events from it via the brick change and be able to send direct commands. The next thing we want to do here is actually control the motors. OK, so we're back in Visual Studio. We're going to add the motors. And the first thing we're going to do is switch to the mainwindow.xaml page. And within here, I'm going to do one quick thing at the very top to add some resources and save me some time copying and pasting buttons for you all. So the first thing I'll just drag is some styles that will make all the fonts larger. And it'll set font size to 32 for buttons and text blocks. And let's just drag some buttons on here as well. These are just four buttons, and I'm using a Windings font. And as you can imagine, this will be our forward button, our back button, our left button, and our right button. So what we're going to do is add click events. You click the forward button, it'll go forward for about 1/3 of a second. So to do that, I'll just type click equals, and we'll do a new event handler. And let's just jump back to that code and start writing something. And just to give it a better name, we'll choose a forward button click. And I'll just tell it to refactor that. Great. Now within our forward button click, before we do that, there's a couple of values that we're going to set at the very top because it's basically the same data we're setting everywhere. Now the first thing we're going to do is set a value for the speed that we want moving forward. And I'll just call this forward. And let's go ahead and set that to 40. And backwards, I can set that maybe a little slower. And we'll do 30. And let me make sure to type that correctly. And once we have that, the last thing we need is time. And that's how long in milliseconds. And I'll go ahead and just choose 300 milliseconds for how long we're going to tell the motor to go forward for that speed. OK, with those defined, we're going to go to our forward button click. When you click the button, what I want to do is tell the motor, and we'll do brick. And we're going to do a direct command. And we're going to say turn motor. And you see there's different ways for us to turn that motor at a certain power, at a certain power for time, at a certain speed, and a certain speed for time. We're going to turn motor at power for time async. So the first thing it's going to need to tell it is, what are you turning? And since I have those motors on here, I'm going to say output port, and we're using B and C. So because I'm going to give the same amount of power to both of them, I can say output port B and output port C. And let me jump to full screen here. So those two are the ones that I'm using. Now I need to tell it how strong, and that's that forward speed that we mentioned before, and how long, and that's that time. And there is a value for whether we want to brake, and you can look through the documentation for LEGO, but this is basically, do we want to do a hard brake? And we'll say no. So there's our one value. Now remember, this is asynchronous. So just like we did before, we set async here, and we call await. And let me just check the parameters here, make sure we're not missing anything. Oh, one thing to remember, actually, and we could always just do the casting, is I believe this is looking for a uint. So let's go ahead and change that to a uint, and everything's fine. That's an unsigned integer. OK, so once we have this, let's go ahead and just run it and click our button and see what happens. So we have our beep, lets us know that we're connected. And I'm going to click forward once here. And notice the robot went backwards. So and every time I clicked, it runs that for that power, but it's going backwards. So that's one of the first things we're going to have to do, is depending on how you built your robot, you may need to set its polarity and let it know the way the motors are powered. We are going to change that, and that's what we'll do next. So within our code, we're going to go back up to window loaded. And after we play our sound, what we want to do is set the motor polarity and let it know that we're actually running backwards. So to do that, we're going to do await brick direct command set motor polarity. Now we need to tell it which motor. So we can say output port B and also output port C. So now we know what we're setting. And then the polarity values, if you see here, it can either be backward, forward, or opposite. I'm just going to tell it backward. Now one thing we do want to do here is actually make sure, in some of our testing, we found that just setting the motor polarity lets it run. So we do want to make sure that it won't actually run. So we're going to send a direct command to stop all the motors. And I'm going to say stop motor async. Now, if I want to stop all the motors, I can do output port dot all. And now I've sent a command to all the motors to stop. Oh, and the one thing I do need to do here is set a false for the brake. So let's go ahead and run this now again. We have our button. And now we're going in the right direction. I click forward. I expect it to go forward. Awesome. So let's go ahead and just quickly code up some of the other ones. As you can imagine, this is going to be somewhat repetitive here. The backwards robot code, we'll name this backwards button click. And what we're going to do here is, instead of using the forward value, we'll use the backward value. And we want to make sure that's negative. So let's just go to the definition of backwards, right click, go to definition, make sure that's negative. So now what we're telling is, hey, motors, move backwards. Both motors B and C, move backwards, negative 30. OK, let me full screen this as well. So there's our forwards and our backwards. And now our left to right is a little different. So when you have a tank, and if we could look at the tank right here, what we're going to do is we're going to send power on this one. This one's going to go forward, and this one's going to go backwards. And as they go, that's going to cause our right turn. Similarly, if we want to turn the other way, this one now starts moving backwards, and this one's going to move forwards. So that's what we're going to do in both our left and right. And the other thing this allows us to show is what's called batch commands. So instead of using a direct command, what we're going to do is send a batch of commands. So with a batch command, what you can do is actually queue up a number of commands. So for example, if you wanted the robot to go up, up, down, down, left, right, you could actually do that. And instead of sending all those commands individually, one at a time, we can send them in one big batch, and the robot will then execute each one. So let's go ahead and do that. So the first thing we're going to do here on the left is we'll get a brick. And now notice we have the option to do a batch command. So if I do batch command, and we have the same methods here, turn motor at power for time. And we need to say which motor. So output port B. And we'll make that reverse or go backwards here for a certain amount of time and false. Now, just by typing this, it's not going to send the command. We still need to send another command called send command async to send this. But before I do, I want to add one more command to the batch and let it know. And in fact, just for simplicity, I'm going to copy paste this here. And this time, we're sending C, and I want C to go forward. So now we have two commands that have different values. I'm going to be doing one positive 40, the other one negative 30. And to be able to send this, I now do an await, brick, batch command, send command async. So we now have these methods coded up. And let's make sure to call this one. I think this should be left. And I'm going to add one more for right. Oops. Let's try right. And we're just going to swap which one goes forward, which one goes backwards. And that should work. Now, we haven't set these and wired these up for the button click events. So we'll go ahead and just do that here. And I'm just going to zoom in here. And we see click equals. And if you see, I have the down button, the backwards button. So I'll go ahead and click the backwards button click there. Click equals. And I have the left button selected. So let's do the left button click. Click equals. And the right button click. So what happens? Now that I've wired these all up, I'll click run. We hear our beep. Now I'll test the backwards button since that's new. And we see our robot moving backwards. We'll just edge it up. And now I'll try just moving left here. And you see we're actually rotating and moving it back right. Of course, you can hold this down. But what's happening here is we tell it two commands, send power. One goes positive, one goes negative, and that actually causes the tank to turn. So that's us sending direct commands and batch commands to the motors. The next thing we're going to do is actually use some sensors. And what we want to be able to do is display the data coming from the infrared sensor, as well as use the click event for this touch. So when I know it's actually run into something, I want to display that in my application. So the first thing we're going to do is add a couple of text blocks. So I'm going to go to my toolbox here and do common WPF controls. And I'll just pin this so we can do some wonderful drag and dropping here. And I'm going to add a text block. And we will set the text property. Actually, we don't even need to set the text property because we can do this dynamically, and we'll just remember that the very top one will be the infrared, and so let's give that text distance. And this one will be text touch. So we've seen how to actually send commands to the brick, but how we get data back from the brick, if you remember, is that port changed event. So let's full screen this. We have our brick changed event, sorry. And what we're going to do is set the value of these text boxes. So we'll say text distance, the text property of it. I want to be able to read at what is that infrared sensor actually telling me. So to do that, I'm going to do e.ports. And this is where you get an option for all the different ports, input port. And if we look real quick, I think that is at number 4. So input port 4. And ways to read out the value here. We can look at the value as a percentage, but the SI value is typically the normal one, and that's the International System of Units, just so you know what the data type is. But you can also read out the raw or percent. This is typically what you want to do, so that's what I want to show. And I'm just going to make that a string. So as the value changes also for our touch sensor, we're going to do the same thing. This time, that should be on input port 3. And give me the SI value to string. OK, so with that done, let's go ahead and click Run, or F5, or I'll just get out of full screen. We hear our beep. And at the very top, that number, that 51, represents distance. So as I move my hand, you see the number get higher and lower. And that's centimeters away from that infrared. So we see that we're able to read data using that brick changed event. And next is, at the back here, is a touch sensor. So if you click this, you see the value changes from 0 to 1. 0 meaning there's nothing clicked, 1 meaning it's clicked. So we're able to send and receive data from the brick using these sensors. Now, one more thing we want to do is actually tell the brick how we want the sensor to behave. So to do that, I'm going to jump to my window loaded method. Let's just scroll down, window loaded. And now what I can do is actually set up the brick. And I'm going to tell it input port 3, which is that touch sensor. And these all have different modes. So for example, we are going to look at the enum for touch mode. And you see there's two ways. One is touch, which is the default one. We don't have to set this. But that lets you know it's 1 if it's touch, 0 if it's not. The other one is bumps. How many times has somebody bumped into this? So I'll go ahead and change that method. And we'll see what happens just by running it. So we should see the value, instead of being a 0 or 1, it's now a counter. So 18, 19, 20, 21, and we see that value increase every time we press the button. Now you notice when it started at a high number. One thing we can also do is send another command to basically reset this. And that's using the clear command on bricks. So I'll just do await brick direct command. And we're going to say clear changes. And we're going to pass in a specific port, and that's going to be input port, and that was 3. So now instead of started, last time it started at 18, I think we clicked it 10 times, so it'd be 28. If we click run, it should start at 0 every time that main window is loaded. So now our counter starts at 0 and starts counting up from there. Great. So we've looked at the motors. We've looked at how to send and receive data via sensors. The last thing we want to do is do some of the system commands where we can actually send things, for example, like images and audio to the brick itself. So what I'm going to do next is to show off a system command, I'm going to use the LEGO app that's built in and that ships with the LEGO Mindstorms EV3. And I'm going to create a new project. And what I'm going to do is record me saying, hello, world. We'll do tools. Oh, before I can do that, I need to create a new project. So this will basically create a blank project for us. But really, what I want to do is use the tool here and do the sound editor. Now, I'm going to try talking into my machine here. Hello, world. All right, I'm incredibly loud, apparently, as you can see by the sine wave. I click Save, and let's just call this Test 1. Click OK. Now I'm going to go to the project's, let's make sure to close this. Go to the project settings. Under Sounds, I see an RSF, and I think that's basically a robot sound file, maybe robotic sound file. And I'm going to click Export. And the reason why is I just want to save it on my desktop. So I'll click Test 1, RSF, Save. And similarly, there is a tool for image where you can actually import images. But you can imagine, say, I want to have my robot almost be a soundboard. I can have 10 sounds, convert them into RSF files, send them over, and then randomly, as people press buttons or it acts in different ways, I can tell it to play different sounds. So to play different sounds, the first thing I want to do is actually import that sound into our project. And I'll do that with Add Existing Item. So I'll click that on our desktop. Now, we don't see it because we're filtering everything. Let's choose All Files and choose test1.rsf. So we should see test1.rsf here. And in our properties, because we do want it to actually copy to the output directory, we're going to say copy if newer, and that'll copy it once, and if we have a new file, it'll replace it. OK, so to do this, why don't we add a new button here? I'll just drag and drop a button. And we'll call this play sound. So I'll double click it, and what we're going to do is, first thing we need to do is copy that sound file to the device, and then we can play it. So to do that, first step, let me first full screen this. And we have some async code, so let's add async up top. And we're going to await brick system command copy file async. And now there's two paths that it needs to know. Is one, where's the location relative to your project? And this is your local path, meaning on your desktop. And for me, that's test1.rsf, because I added it onto the project. Then the next is the path that it's going to be on the actual device. So if you read this, there's a device path. And it needs to have one of these paths, APPS, PRJS, or tools. PRJS being for like projects. So I'm going to go ahead and add this path, PRJS, and we'll just call it my app, but it can be whatever you want, test1.rsf. So this is now going to copy the file, and since we're awaiting it, we're going to wait till that file is copied, and then we're going to call and actually play that file. So to do that, brick. Now we're doing a direct command. And this is play sound async. So one is how much volume, and I'll do 100. And I have to do a slightly modified version of the path because I can't send in the file extension. So it's going to be the same path as above, PRJS, my app, test one. And that's all. We just basically dropped the RSF. Okay, so with that done, we have our path, we have our button click. Let's zoom out and we'll click play. We see our tone here, we see values. I'm going to click play sound, and hopefully we'll get some audio here.
Hello world. Hello world.
So hopefully you all can hear that as I'm...
Hello world.
So awesome. We showed a bunch of different mechanisms here, but you can imagine, you know, making this a soundboard, having 10 different apps as maybe there's a Windows phone that has a camera there, and if we see somebody, we send an audio taunt. All kinds of fun stuff that you can imagine with. So with just a couple minutes, we showed how you can connect to the brick using Bluetooth, how we can send direct commands to control the motors, how we can send batch commands where we're sending multiple commands at once, and how we can read data and send and receive data using the sensors to be able to see infrared or touch events and so on, as well as sending system commands where we're copying things like audio and images to either display on the screen or to play out loud. So there's a lot of things that you can do with the LEGO Mindstorms API, and we definitely want to see what's possible and what you're going to create in the future. Thanks.